Oh, wow.
This is it.
Oh. Merry Christmas.
Christmas, don't be starting.
Oh, yes. That. The unmistakable baritone.
The baritone has some good lines in this.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Awesome. The baritone has his moments.
Yeah.
It's like, where it's just like,
yeah.
What is the line in this one? He goes, ooh, ooh, daddy, or something like that.
It's the little Saint Nick, just the little bobsled we call little Saint Nick. But she'll walk a toboggan with a four-speed stick. She's candy apple red with a ski for a wheel. And when Santa hits the gas, man, just watch her feel. It's the little Saint Nick, little Saint Nick. It's the little Saint Nick, little Saint Nick. The run, run, reindeer.
Oh, man, welcome to the Parrothead Podcast. I am Ryan Middledorf.
I'm Patrick McDonald. This is your podcast for all things Jimmy Buffett, including the Beach Boys, folks.
The Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys. Okay, let's address this. Ryan has been doing this air horn noise for, I don't know, it's been months.
It's been a few months. I've been big into the air horn recently. I learned I could do it. It's not a very difficult thing to do.
You started it, I think, on our SiriusXM show.
I think I did. So far, it has not been brought up by our superiors.
Well, we don't get brought up by anyone.
No, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
It's fine.
You're trying to sound the alarm to get them to say something to you.
This is a cry for help.
We're trying to confuse people that people think there's a tornado happening, so they turn on the radio. Turns out they turned on Sirius.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's Christmas. Christmas time is here again.
Christmas time is
Christmas
here.
Christmas comes each
favorite...
time each year.
Yes. What'd you say?
Christmas comes each time each year. Christmas comes this time each year. Yes, Ryan, I cut you off making nonsense.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh. But
go ahead.
Yes, we are joined, of course, as always, by Mr. Christmas himself, our resident Christmas expert, Matt Cordova.
Hi, everyone.
Matt.
I just waved to no
hey,
one.
Everybody.
As if we're
hey,
in a
everybody.
Studio
yeah,
audience.
Right yes. in my face.
This is, I believe, your sixth appearance
oh,
on the
I
podcast.
So. As we
over
have,
5 years, is that right?
I think so.
Six years now. 6 years now.
But one of them was a Father's Day.
Yes.
That's right.
And we didn't have you the first Christmas episode.
That's right.
And
yes,
then we had you
our
the
first
second
Christmas
year.
Episode was like our sixth episode or something like that.
Right.
It's been
right,
really
right.
fun to see how many places this show has lived in. I've been in a couple apartments.
You
yeah.
have? Yeah, you have.
This is the new location. And I'm and then I was
couple
in my
zooms.
Own basement.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you in his apartment in Glendale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then in Los Feliz.
Yep.
And now we're in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you've been in like five different every time
you,
that
you
we recorded.
House.
You yes, we're
yes.
still in that guest house. You have been there as
yep.
well.
And then your apartment, I think that we like sat at like a high
yes,
bar table.
In Silver Lake.
Yes.
Wow.
You haven't been to the same place to record this.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
Oh my gosh. So we have some work to do between now and next year.
Yeah, where are we going next, boys?
Some location scouting
this
for
is,
sure.
I think the Parrothead Podcast, if you were to look at it kind of in a long, like a faraway scale, it's just the story of two boys seeking stability. Who slowly become more and more stable.
Oh,
I think we're getting there.
That shit.
But we're yeah. getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting
slowly
there.
But surely.
I bought, you know, this is a big step. Hugo, we talked about this. I bought a above ground dishwasher.
You can get it at the above ground pool place if you want to wash dishes.
Yeah,
while
yeah, yeah.
We were just commenting on this. Matt, I want you to describe this dishwasher
yeah,
for us.
So we're talking probably 2 feet tall, 2 feet wide.
Yeah,
yeah sure.
When you open it, it has an like undeniable nightclub vibe. Yeah. It's like it's got this like black light that shines over your dishes. That, I don't know
yeah.
what your messy dishes look like under that light.
Don't want to know.
But Ryan, he suggested a disco ball in there.
Yeah, just yeah. one of those little plastic disco balls I think would be nice.
What brand is this?
Let's check. I think it's called a... Well, it's a Hava.
Hava. Hava Merry Little Christmas.
Hava oh. Merry Little Christmas. Hava yourself an above-ground dishwasher.
Yeah. Hava yourself some clean dishes.
But so yes. that's new in your life. You also are sitting right now in a lounger.
I am.
The Dab Lounge 2000.
Zero gravity lounger. There is a... Oh, I can't open it. It'll break my fridge. Yeah. Uh-huh. But it's a nice little camping chair that I actually brought it up on my roof last week, and I sat up on my roof and looked up at the stars.
Wow.
It was beautiful for about 15 minutes, and then I was like, I said, I don't know how to get off of this.
Oh, yeah.
Your roof is slanted.
Yes. What slanted. Did you do?
It was very careful. And it was, but it was touch and go. Because I said, I can't do this again.
You say, this is a nice little camping chair. The back goes above your head.
Yes.
It's 3 times the size of this above ground.
It's
dishwasher.
Pretty large. I know. It's 3 Havas stacked on top of each other.
3 Havas up on the roof.
Up on the roof. I brought 3 Havas on the roof. That's what it was. But it was nice, you know?
Yeah.
These little trappings, you know, I have little inklings of money coming about.
Yes.
And I'm spending it on the right things, I think.
I think so.
Above-ground dishwasher.
That, little breadcrumbs.
Yes.
Yeah, breadcrumbs.
That dishwasher, I think, is going to change your life.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Until you get a below-ground dishwasher.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get a below-ground dishwasher.
I would like to go around the table, now that we're having this discussion, and talk about the new dad things in our life. So you
Great.
Have the dishwasher, wow. You have the chair. I recently got a smoker.
Yes.
Yes, I got a Kamado Joe smoker.
Incredible. I am at half mast right now hearing about this smoker. That's a sailing reference.
Okay.
And please continue.
I made a pulled pork yesterday. Smoked it for about 8 hours.
Oh. You brought me what I would only describe as takeout from a barbecue place. You
yes.
had like all of the like the best.
Yes.
Like it looked like it was like coleslaw. You made a barbecue sauce.
I made the coleslaw. I made the sauce. The only thing I didn't make was a potato salad. Thank you, Handy Market in Burbank.
Here's the thing. There's a couple things. I love Handy Market, first of all.
Yep.
A couple things that I don't make because they're just as good at the store. Pie crust and potato salad.
Yes,
I agree. College, one time I spent 4 hours making a potato salad. It tastes like I could have got it at a Vaughn's. I was pissed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no point.
The insight that you have on the pie crust is also, like, that just happened over Thanksgiving. My wife makes this pie every year, and she's like, I'm going to buy the crust this year.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's so stressful.
Just the same. Really good. But that's some good insight you got there.
There's some things you should just buy at the store. So I'm glad you did that.
Yeah.
And go to somebody like a market or something
Plus,
like that.
Plus, a smoked potato salad sounds a little weird.
Sounds a little weird.
You can't do that.
No.
Because if you're using a smoker, you have to put everything
you're
in
right.
It.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the deal. I mean, that's pretty exciting. That's
so
a good investment.
I got the smoker. Matt, aside from the baby, what are the new dad things in your life?
Well, I got a couple outdoor rugs.
Okay.
Ooh.
This is big.
Yes.
Outdoor rugs.
Well, I've just been trying to touch up my backyard, make it a little more cozy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I also just recently purchased a above ground propane fireplace.
Oh, yes. Okay.
We were just talking about
Patrick has one as well, but
Oh
boy, does that transform your yard and your space. And it gives off just as much, you know, a store-bought fire is just as good as a wood-burning fire.
Absolutely. Buy it at the store.
Right?
Fire at the store.
And these outdoor rugs, they're almost like made of, I don't know, wax or something. So they're, another dad thing that I've been doing a lot lately is getting onto an estate sale mailing list.
No
where
way.
Where every weekend they send you where estate sales are in LA, and then you go and buy dead people's stuff.
Wow.
And last week we went to a mechanical engineer for JPL.
Whoa.
And he lived in this house in Pasadena for like 30 years. And I got to just rifle through his garage and like buy all his old like weird cool tools. And his son was there like, everything's a dollar.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Wait, I want to come to these. Let me know.
You got to get on this.
I would love to.
Mailing list.
Okay, send me the, yeah.
But the outdoor rugs came from an estate sale. And the people whose house it was owns Sinespia, who does the...
Yeah, sure.
They do movie screenings at Hollywood Cemetery. And so these outdoor rugs were from the screenings from the VIP section.
Wow.
The woman said that David Beckham sat on them.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
David Beckham.
Huge. Beckham bum.
Beckham bum.
So now when you invite people over to the house, you're just standing in the backyard as dads are wont to do.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you know who sat on this rug?
Oh, my God.
David Beckham.
Exactly. That's a huge dad thing.
Huge.
It's overcoming me, the want to tell people stupid shit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I can tell. And I can see, like, my wife brings it up to me. I feel shame. Yeah. But it is real.
It's so funny that it's, you know, this is just three dads, but only one of us is a kid, you know?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like we've all held this energy for a long time.
We've all harnessed
so.
It.
Yeah, and when
it happens for you guys, it's going to happen in form or another.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
And it'll be right.
This is the sitcom. Three dads in different stages of being a dad, you know? One wild single dad, uh-huh. one in a relationship with two rowdy dogs.
Yes.
And one
with a real one.
Just chained to his house.
Well, speaking of which, this is your first Christmas with a kid.
Yes.
Yes.
How was that? Like thinking back on your past Christmases, like as a kid, now having a kid, like are you trying to now instill some sort of traditions, and like what's that thought process?
It's funny because I was listening to the album that we were listening to, and there's many songs about Santa
mm-hmm.
on this album,
mm-hmm.
and so I was thinking about like that funny thing that we lie to children about, and you know, thinking about how long I'm gonna lie to my child,
correct,
about Santa, which I definitely will, like I'm not above that lie, So it's interesting because I've also had nieces and nephews. They're 10 and 7. So like these last 10 years of Christmas have been really fun
mm-hmm.
to be with these kids when they're opening their presents. We're going to go to South Carolina for her first Christmas. So her grandma lives in South Carolina. So that's going to be really fun. And as far as traditions, we didn't really have any like tried and true traditions. I think I've mentioned this before, but our friends have like the most ringing a tradition of Christmas Adam.
Yes, you have mentioned Christmas Adam before.
I think that I'm going to co-opt that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Explain Christmas Adam for anybody.
Christmas
who
Adam
know.
Was this tradition that my friend's family did that they were like the best people in the world. And they had this rule the day before Christmas Eve, they called Christmas Adam, which was the only rule of the day was that you could say any curse word you wanted all day,
right,
no repercussions. And I just remember going over there every year on that day just to be able to say, you know, butthole to like a grown woman in her own kitchen. And it was, I think it's just so much fun.
It's so much fun. Let's instill that. You know what? Today's Christmas Adam here on the podcast. So you guys can say,
butthole.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
everyone. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That is so fun. I mean, that I was thinking of that. I came home from the hospital when I was a baby on the 24th of November, my brother on December 11th.
Wow.
So we were both like Christmas time-ish babies.
Uh-huh.
And my mom has a little Santa outfit that they brought me home in that she puts on a teddy bear every year
and puts it
out.
Oh my goodness.
And it's so cute. And then there's a stocking that my brother came home in. These fucking hospitals have a blast with Christmas babies, it feels like. They have all the little outfits. And so it's very cute.
That.
And I always see the little thing that I was, you know.
That's so crazy.
Came home in. I try to fit in. I don't fit. I'm gonna work. I have some fitness goals to fit in it this year.
I want
year.
You to like dress your leg.
Yeah.
Your lower leg. Just put it up to your knee. Put a little face on your kneecap.
Yeah, perfect. You guys are gonna see a post next year.
Great.
Huge news. I'm 5 pounds again.
Benjamin Button did.
Benjamin Button in a year.
Yeah.
Gains. That's called gains. Or losses, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you have any Christmas traditions? Do you have any with the dogs, Ryan?
Okay. So with the dogs, so stupid. Why'd you any type of traditions you do with the dogs sounds stupid to other people.
Having a dog sounds stupid to other people, I feel like.
That's true. We call it Santa Paws.
See, I knew you were going to have something.
I like how you said, God damn it, and you didn't know. But, yeah.
We call it Santa Paws, and now every year for Christmas, we'll keep the dogs in like the bedroom. We'll lay out like brand new stuff. So we'll get them like a new blanket and then a bunch of new toys and treats, put all in the blanket, and then we'll say Santa Paws came. We'll open the door, and they just go crazy, just
that
like looking around.
That
stuff.
Is so
it's
good.
It's very cute. Very fun.
It's very cute. You shouldn't be ashamed of that, Ryan.
Oh,
I think everyone
God.
Should know about Santa Paws. I love that.
Santa Paws is very fun. So that's my recommendation. If you have dogs, just lay out a bunch of new stuff because dogs can only focus on one thing at a time.
Yes.
So it's just like this.
Oh my
dude,
God.
That's
very
so,
fun.
I want to do that so bad.
It's very, very fun.
That's so much fun.
Outside of that, I think the two biggest traditions that my family did for Christmas stick out to me. One, every single year, my mom would read Night Before Christmas. We still have the book.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then every year, ever since I was probably way too young to watch it, my dad would play Christmas Vacation.
Oh,
fun. Every single year without fail.
That is
fun.
So I still do that.
That's a good move.
It is the best Christmas movie.
That's I've shown my niece and nephew that, and I think we did it last year.
Okay.
And again, you're loving it and watching it, and then some parts you're like, okay, all right.
Yeah, moving along.
Let's get out of the mall. Get out of the mall. Stop talking to that lady. But it is so good.
It holds up.
Oh, man.
That is so great. I've started watching a couple Hallmark Christmas movies this year.
Sure, okay.
That's a newer tradition.
Yep.
They are a mess, folks.
They are.
That's the whole point of them.
Right.
It's a fascinating
What's
thing.
What's the one? Give me one.
So there's one called Dear Christmas that I just watched with...
D-E-E-R?
D-E-A-R. No, I wish. Dear Christmas, I would love to see. That would be a whole other story. Melissa Joan Hart and Jason Priestley.
Oh,
wow.
I was going to say Joey Lawrence. Really? I know they've done some stuff together.
Yeah, they have. So Melissa Joan Hart is a podcaster.
Okay.
Lives in New York City. Does a podcast about all the holidays.
Explaining it all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this was clearly shot during COVID.
Uh-huh.
And they're always at a Christmas party, but in a corner, or people are coming over, so they're getting ready, or they're in the coffee shop, but the coffee shop is closed now.
That
and they're getting
so funny.
Or the fireman's ball is coming, but she shows up late to the fireman's ball, so nobody's there. Like, it's literally
the
like
the context of it being filmed in COVID and then watching it just to see how many camera tricks they've had to pull.
It's crazy.
That is so good.
It's crazy to watch. It's crazy. And so basically, she's a podcaster, never quite found love.
Yeah.
Her car breaks down on the way to Lake Tahoe, where her family is. Ed Begley Jr. is the dad.
Oh.
In a shocking twist, I think career wise, I think he could do anything he wanted. I really think he's a great actor. Popping into but it's COVID. People were picking up jobs during COVID. We're going to have to keep track of the things that people did during COVID, because a lot of people did things they never would have done.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
It's very interesting. Anyways, they go there, and then she meets a man named Chris Massey, Jason Priestley, and they call him Mr. Christmas. He has a tow truck with a hot chocolate in it, and it's very sweet, and he's a real man about town. He does all sorts of different little handyman kind of things, dresses trees, jack of all trades.
Yeah.
And she had so many boyfriends growing up, Melissa Joan Hart, and she had these notebooks
they
full
would
of being
climb
like,
through her bedroom window.
Exactly.
Yeah,
her brother Ferguson hated it. So she would write these things down where she would say, like, I'm in love with this person. The next day, be like, we're not boyfriends anymore. And she goes through all of her journals and she's like, ugh, they went to school together for 1 year during seventh grade. She couldn't find her seventh grade journal. Of course, she wrote, she did. He was one of her boyfriends.
Yes. Uh-huh.
In seventh grade.
Sure.
It's pretty conflictless. As I'm describing it, I'm like, this just sounds like a...
And how many white people are in it?
100%. All of them, actually. They just did... they do a montage. I saw my own face. It was crazy. I didn't know I'd been in it.
I saw my own face.
It was crazy. But I highly recommend it. It's a new thing. It's not new. I mean, a Hallmark movie's been around forever.
Yeah.
But
they now start in October, I think.
They do.
The holiday movies.
They start pretty early, and people are into them. It's a new thing.
I'm not sure if they still do this, but I think last year or the year before, it was like 30 days, 30 brand new holiday movies.
Yes.
From Hallmark?
From Hallmark. And I have a little background insight. I used to be a background actor when I first moved to LA for like 2 years, and I did a couple of background shoots with the Hallmark company. They are the closest, most tight-knit, nicest group of people you've ever met. And they film every single movie together.
I did not expect that.
There's probably like...
crazy.
The crew is probably like 20 people, 20 like regular people. And talking to them, they would say like, we've been working together for like 15 years. Every single movie they do together.
Wow.
And they have everything nailed down. It's super quick, super efficient. And that's how they turn out all of these movies.
Wow.
That sounds like one of the best like working situations in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they all seem like they were having a blast and genuinely enjoyed each other.
Content aside.
Yes. Content aside. Yes.
But the way they're producing it.
You can tell they're having a blast because they're not focusing on the movie. There are some things being missed. Yeah.
You know, after 15 years when same people are doing the same thing.
Yes.
It gets a little...
Yes.
I mean, I think... Okay, I want to pitch this to you guys.
Okay.
And we can figure this out. I just had this idea. I didn't even plan this. So it just shows how really brilliant I am. A Parrothead Hallmark movie.
Ooh.
A Jimmy Buffett Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You know, inspired by... Margaritaville, inspired by what are we painting? What are we creating if we're making this kind of what? First of all, what's it called?
Ooh,
I can't stop thinking about Santa Paws.
Okay,
something like Christmas in Paradise.
Mm. Oh,
Christmas in
good.
Paradise. Ooh. And here's my
this is really good.
Here's my top level pitch. Okay, so. We're actually in Margaritaville. In this movie, Margaritaville is not a state of mind. It's an actual place.
Great.
There is a freak snowstorm in Margaritaville.
Wow.
And the people of Margaritaville need to figure out how to, you know, go through their regular Christmas, but now in a snowy environment.
All they've got are swim trunks.
Exactly.
Right. That's
actually
incredible, Ryan.
Really good. I think that's
thank
really
you,
good.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amazing. And watching all these like tropical people be like, what do we do with all this snow?
That
yes.
Is very good.
Really?
Thank you.
It's like shockingly good. I think you could write that.
Yeah.
I'm on it. I'm on
okay,
it.
Okay, great.
Oh, six wow. pages in.
Just
okay.
What happens when you dump a bunch of snow on a beach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what do the people do?
Yeah.
It's just, oh. You just deal with something.
Yes.
Surf sledding.
Oh, there you go.
That's
surf
really
sledding.
Fun.
Huge.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then it's like the luau with the pig, but, you know, they can't roast it over the fire, so they have to make it in a fireplace.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, they can't
very
do the
good.
Big
bit.
Roasting over some chestnuts.
Oh, uh-huh. They put chestnuts in the pig's mouth.
Or coconuts.
Coconuts. Coconuts roasting over an open fire.
Oh. There you go. Okay, so we are looking for producers right now for Christmas in Paradise.
Listen, hello, Hallmark people.
Yeah, hello Hallmark people. We just complimented you, and if you want to get in on the ground floor, you don't want to miss this.
We know we're not part of your cult.
That's a great way to get in with someone and say, we just complimented you.
Remember?
Hey, remember when we said those nice things? We need something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, Ryan. I think you did it.
Thank you very much.
That's so good.
I just watched both of you do this. Yeah. Right? I mean,
pretty amazing.
Just an observer here.
I know, that's good.
Well, boys, should we get to this album?
Yeah, let's talk about... Well, first of all, I want to do a quick honorable mention before we get into this. Because we were talking about the Christmas album we wanted to do this year. Every year we do a Christmas album. Every year we chat about Christmas and listen to a new album. Last year it was Bertie Higgins.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Loved Bertie. Yep. Little Baby Jesus. We'll always, always, always remember that. This year we were maybe potentially going to do Kenny Chesney's All I Want for Christmas is a Real Good Tan.
Yes.
We started looking at it and it wasn't as fun as we potentially
as the title said it might be.
Yes. But I do for honorable mention just want to play that song right now.
Yep.
All I Want for Christmas is a Real Good Tan. Just to shout out to No Shoes Nation because they are huge and they are growing. And I was thinking a lot about No Shoes Nation actually recently because that's the Kenny Chesney
cohort
kind of subgroup, and I would like to describe them
isn't he a no sleeves guy? What's the no shoes?
It's no shirt, no shoes, no problem is the name of the song.
Sure.
I would like to describe them as the America to the American colonies to Jimmy Buffett's British Empire.
Wow.
They are like, but I think the Parrotheads are kind of politely, you know, we want a peaceful transfer back and forth.
Sure.
You know, we're not dunking any tea in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an okay transfer of power, but it's definitely like its own thing now.
Different.
You can tell that Patrick recently saw Hamilton, right?
I saw Hamilton on Friday. I watched Hamilton on Friday. So
transfer of power.
I have put myself back in the narrative. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, let's listen to it. All I Want for Christmas is a Real Good Tan.
Ooh, don't you think it's a pretty good plan? All I want for Christmas is a real good tan. All I want for Christmas is a real good tan. Take me to the island,
it is pretty good.
Put my feet in the sand, rocking to and fro with the rhythm of the ocean, singing silent night with the palm trees a-blowing. Ooh, don't you think it's a pretty good plan? All I want for Christmas is a real good tan.
It is a good song.
His voice is nice.
His voice is nice. Smooth.
He's one of those guys that, like, I just know the name.
Yeah.
And then I know the image of the sleeveless shirt.
Yeah.
But would never have been able to put a voice to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And his voice is better than his image.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got something. He already gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep.
He pulls you in. He's really good. I think that's a good song to throw on a Christmas playlist.
Sure.
When I heard that, I was like, the rest of the album is very nice. It's very good. It's just, I don't think we would enjoy ourselves. It's very serious.
It's very serious.
Folk is very Christian.
Yes.
Which is respect.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, this is the name of the season.
The
it's the name of the season.
It's the name of the season.
Name of the season. I just bought a sign that says that.
It's the name of the season. It's the name of the season, guys.
But that one is that's a good one.
Yeah.
It is a good one.
So shout out to Kenny Chesney.
Also, it's going to be interesting. You mentioned the dichotomy between No Shoes Nation and Parrotheads. Upcoming in April, is it?
Yeah, I think. Or April. It's April.
April. There is a date in
Charlotte, I believe it's Charlotte.
Where Kenny and Jimmy are performing on the same night, different venues.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which seems like, we were talking about this, a huge oversight for both
parties.
Huge
oversight. Huge oversight. I don't know what they're going to do. It feels like a disaster.
It's interesting, like a true disaster. Though. Because they could have just like solidified twice as many people coming to their state. Because you know people are coming from all over the country.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
And they have to choose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they know that they're going to be there.
So one concert's at 5 and one concert's at 8.
Which one's which?
Let me see. 1 second.
I bet you Jimmy's at 8.
Oh.
Bet you Kenny's at 5. 5 is very early, though.
Well, it's right before 5:30 mass, which...
<That's>, well, like, if someone was playing at 5 o'clock, I would guess it would be Jimmy.
That's what I would think.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Okay.
But it's... yeah, so tickets already went on sale. It's April 30th at the Bank of America Stadium and PNC Music Pavilion, respectively.
Mm.
Here's the thing. Chesney starts at 5. Buffett begins at 8.
You had it, Ryan.
I got it.
Wow, 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 wow. I mean, there was, I guess, one person, this woman that was really excited, first-time parents. They thought about trying to attend both concerts before they learned the concert the same night. She said, quote, "I'm sure you can understand the horror I felt after learning these two country/beach powerhouses were on the same night. But can we possibly attend both concerts?" Crazy thought, she said, raced through her mind. Chauffeur a car between PNC and BOA and hit the first half of Jimmy and the second half of Kenny? Is that a logistical nightmare? So many questions about such an important decision. And I thought the only decision these days would be about keeping our one-month-year-old son alive.
Whoa. Oh,
so I thought that you I thought you said first-time parents.
Oh, no, parents.
Parents. Okay, yeah, I got you.
Not parents. Oh, it's okay. Not parents.
With baby.
Yeah.
So, It's pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know. What would you guys do?
I would like to film a documentary of that woman of that night.
I want
to see how it works out.
I want to film a documentary of her, like, kind of maybe 3 months out trying to plan this.
Yeah.
And everyone being like, hey, I think we need to focus on something else.
Yeah. Your child.
Yeah. What do I do?
Oh, yes, child.
Yeah. Man, it's pretty funny. It's pretty wild. We'll see what's going to happen in Charlotte. We might have to just go report on the ground.
Yeah,
April 30th.
That's big news that I don't think most of the country knows about.
No.
This like upcoming showdown.
Hey, yeah, hear ye. We need to let everyone know. This is a huge problem.
This is the hill you guys are going
to. We're the Greta Thunberg of of Jimmy Buffett and Kenny Chesney in Charlotte on April 30th. Just this one specific event.
I mean, people have put a lot of resources to dumber things.
It's true.
It's crazy.
The Beach Boys.
Yes, let's talk about this
Christmas
album.
Christmas album. This album, I love this album so much.
Me too.
My dad being a huge Parrothead growing up, in addition to Christmas Island, Jimmy's first Christmas album, this album was also on repeat around the holidays. I love this album so much.
Did your dad have a 5 CD disc changer?
Oh, like a 30 CD
baby,
disc
baby,
changer.
Baby. Just a
man.
Tower of CDs.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Most of them were Jimmy.
I love that.
Oh
yes.
Man.
I really, really, really also love this album. I think that the Beach Boys were my first cassette that I bought, mm-hmm. As a child. Mm-hmm. So Beach Boys in my brain are like kind of like my life's soundtrack.
Yeah.
So whenever I hear them, it's just very familiar and comforting.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, like especially the Christmas album reminds me of like the fun, like kinetic energy of like my uncle's getting drunk, you know, on Christmas
yes.
Eve, and all these like cousins running around.
Well,
and
there's this vibe that's, you know, of the Beach Boys that's calm also,
yes.
But there's also something deep that's chaotic,
yes.
Because
uh-huh.
there's a rumbling,
so many.
There's a yes. rumbling and there's a high note, so it's this is kind of like full overwhelming, like there's a looseness.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, this could all fall apart
every
yeah. second.
Everybody in your family can pick their pitch.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yes.
You know, some people are doing the same high note over there. The chorus yeah. really bad. You know,
yeah, yeah.
But this first song specifically might be one of my favorites of the album, "Little Saint Nick."
Oh my gosh!
And it's also in one of my like favorite movies, and the movie is Outside Providence. It's one of the Farrelly Brothers mid-90s movies.
Oh wow.
And it's about a kid who has got a single father, and it's actually like, it's, I don't know how well it'll hold up. I think it'll hold up pretty well, but basically the premise is that this kid's, his dad is Alec Baldwin in the movie, and the kid gets high and crashes into a police car,
mm-hmm.
And gets sent away to boarding school, and it all takes place in the 70s. And so, like, most of the movie is him meeting all the people at the boarding school and then coming back home. And his father is Alec Baldwin. He's single, like, hey, put your stuff over there kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they have this flashback scene in the middle of the movie where you kind of understand what happened to his mom. And it's this, like, flashback scene of, like, this fuzzy, you know, Christmas morning scene. And you can tell the main character is remembering his mom, and his mom like pulls out their new BB gun that they just got them, and she's like shooting ornaments off of the tree, and everybody's laughing, and it's just so fun, and it's this memory, and this song is playing all throughout
wow.
that scene.
Ooh.
And then, you know, later on in the movie, I don't want to ruin it, but you know, you come to realize that his mother had a mental illness that
mm-hmm.
caused her and her father to like split up, that the kid never really fully understood. She just, yeah. He just understood the fun
she
times.
So
right,
fun.
Right, right. Yeah.
But that song is just like the perfect song for just like, just unabashed joy of
yes.
Christmas
yes.
morning.
Yep.
Oh my God, I love that.
So check out that movie. It's really good.
Okay, Outside Providence. That's the rec.
That's the rec for this one. But
then after that, watch Dear Christmas.
Yes.
You're going to love it.
Well, we listened to it at the top of the show, but let's check it out a little bit more. Little Saint Nick, the Beach Boys, from the Beach Boys Christmas album.
Baritone.
Oh, here we go.
Don't miss no one.
Yeah.
Don't miss no one. Let's follow. Okay, let's write that one down. He don't miss no one.
Okay. An incredible Christmas song. Also, I know this song very, very well. My girlfriend, Olivia, she had to use this song for some project or something, and she had to download the song to her phone, not on like Spotify or anything like that. So for probably 2 years, anytime she got into her car and plugged in her phone, this song would immediately play.
Oh no.
Right away.
Nonstop. So like every single day for like 2 years, Little Saint Nick right away.
Oh, that'll ruin it for you.
Yeah, yeah. Just mid hot August day. Yeah. What are the things that play as soon as you guys turn on your cars right now? You guys have any Bluetooth foibles?
I got rid of my car.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a car.
Wow. Nice.
Wow, yeah. Nice.
So whatever I choose when I hop in the Lyft.
Okay, well, what automatically plays when you hop
like,
in the Lyft?
Nathaniel, probably.
Okay, Nathaniel Ray, Lyft,
yes.
Perfect.
Yep.
He was my number one artist this year on Spotify.
Wow.
We love Nathaniel Ray, Lyft.
Yeah.
I am, this whole past year has just been all morning in my walks.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I tell you what, we are going whenever he announces his show, we're gonna go. So if you would like to join us for this, let me know.
Come with us, please.
Yes,
that one. He's got one song that's like I love being alone.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've been doing I love being with Joe.
Wow.
And I just sing it to her all the time.
Like, That's so cute.
He's so incredible.
That's amazing. Incredible. And that's a big dad move, making parody songs when you put your daughter in the,
song. You better believe it. And I've only just begun.
Oh, wow, you got to write some of those. We'll send them over to Birdie.
Yeah.
We can cover it for you.
Birdie. Still alive, Birdie?
Birdie boy.
He's here. He's always with us. A couple facts about the Beach Boys album, released November 9th, 1964.
Okay.
And it was recorded in June and October, like that, 1963. So it was recorded a full year before.
Mm-hmm.
He left Dick Reynolds to arrange. It was a 41-piece orchestral backing on the traditional songs, and Whoa. They'd apply their vocals after. Brian Wilson wanted to do this as a response to Phil Spector's A Christmas Gift for You from Philly's Records, an album Brian had attended recording sessions for. He played piano on the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but was dismissed by Spector due to his substandard piano playing.
Wow.
So this is a spite Christmas album.
Jeez, you know what?
Which makes it a real Christmas
that
album.
That is really cool.
Yeah,
pretty
cool.
Fuck you, Phil. I hope you die in jail, Phil.
Yeah. Turns out he did.
Wow,
Brian.
You know what I love about Christmas albums? There's no middle ground. You either go all out for a Christmas album, put everything you have into it, or it's a completely throwaway thing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's ever been like a middle, like Birdie's full nonstop, that is a Christmas album, you know?
Who would you say has phoned in a Christmas album?
NSYNC.
I just listened to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's like the same song twice on the album.
Yeah.
Right.
Like have you guys ever heard The Little Drummer Boy by Justin Bieber?
No.
No.
That song is crazy. You guys should check out. There's some rapping in it that's really, really crazy. It's like one of the wildest, but that one was definitely phoned in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's some people that say, listen, I fucking love Christmas and I can add something to this holiday.
Yep.
There's some people that say, I fucking love money and I can steal some during Christmas.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's the thing, because it's such a cash cow to have the Christmas album.
Yes.
I grew up with the Pentatonix kids.
Oh, uh-huh.
The ones that are, I mean, Christmas is their bread and butter.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Kiersey, Scott, and Mitch, I used to do community theater with them in Texas from sixth grade to high school.
It's
I knew
real.
All of
I
them.
Thought you said, like, I grew up listening to the kids.
No, no,
Did
no,
you
no.
Know them?
I was friends with them.
Wow.
I have, like, photos with them. I can show you photos. It's, like, really crazy. But we were all involved in these, like, singing dancing troupes when we were younger. They were in one called Standing Room Only at this one theater, and I was on another one called Catitudes. I'm actually drinking out of a mug that says Catitudes.
Oh, yes, you are.
Catitudes was a mess. But we do these reviews, these Christmas reviews, these like song and dance things, and theirs were always so good. And all they did was translate this like show choir vibe into like a multi-million dollar industry.
Wow.
They like crushed it. And it's like incredible to see them do that. But they are Christmas staples now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's nuts.
So but they don't phone it in.
No, they don't phone that in. Absolutely not.
No, you can't
phone
in.
Have you guys seen How To with John Wilson?
Yes.
Did you see the latest episode?
I saw, is that the one with the landlord?
The wine. No, there's a new one.
There's a new one? Oh my gosh.
He talks about his experiences with a cappella group in college.
Really?
And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay. I got to watch it. How To John Wilson on HBO. It's unbelievable.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
I need to check it out.
You got
to
check it out. You're going to love it.
It's just a guy and his camera, and he just walks around New York and picks up footage from New York.
Yeah.
And then writes this narrative in a voiceover over the top of all of his footage and then some interviews. But the way that he ties the images that he captures on the street to the narrative that he's saying, it's so incredible.
Ooh.
I don't even really know how to describe it. It's a lot like a Nathan For You kind of observational thing. But,
it's so insane.
I would highly recommend it.
I got to check it out.
It's so insane. I highly recommend it. It's so, so, so good. I can't wait for this next one.
The Man With All The Toys.
Oh, yeah.
The Man With All The Toys. Let's give it a listen.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
He's the man with... Someone found the lighted house late one night, and he saw through the window a sight. A big man in a chair, and little tiny men everywhere. He's the man up with all up the door.
The Man With All The Toys.
Is this a song about Jeff Bezos?
Yeah. That's a good one. I love when the songs talk about someone and you know who they're talking about, but they don't say their name.
Never. I was thinking like this could be about Richard Branson.
Yeah, sure. Could be about anyone. The Man With All The Toys.
Yeah.
Could be about the owner of Sharper Image.
Sure.
It could be about anyone.
Sure.
Brookstone, even.
Uh-huh.
Sky Mall.
It's about the CEO of Sky Mall. One thing I love about this album, I just need to shout it out. 12 songs, 27 minutes and 37 seconds.
I love that.
Flying through.
I think it is a staple of what you need to do with Christmas music.
Yes, keep it quick.
Yeah. So many people want to, you know, do Oh Holy Night, the 25-minute Christmas song. And it's we don't need it. You know,
here.
Fall on your knees and stop singing. You know what I mean?
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if it's going to be an hour and a half Christmas album, it better be all originals.
Yes.
Yes. You
know? 100%.
Because we know what you're coming with.
Yeah.
If you don't.
So, yeah, absolutely. So I really like that they were like, let's just get you the pops. Especially if you're playing this at a party, you're putting this on, you want that variety, you want that change up.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
And really, I love really the pops in this song.
Oh, yeah.
Pop.
Oh.
Pop.
Yeah. I mean, come on. They went so hard all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we look back, it was partially mental illness, right?
Sure.
Brian Wilson
yes.
being like going hard.
But not Carl and Denny and
no.
you know, these
and
guys.
Mike.
They were sound mind.
They were all set.
Yeah.
They were high out of their mind.
Oh,
yes.
yeah. Oh, yeah. 64? You better believe it.
Crystal clear year.
Yeah.
Crystal clear year.
We might have met the Manson women at this point.
Potentially. Yeah. Dennis Wilson was they were staying in his house at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think this was right around when
I think Dennis Wilson is like collectively thought of as being responsible for bringing the Manson fold into like the Hollywood elite.
Wow.
Because they met he hosted the first parties that he brought them to, and then they met all these other people and worked there.
And then Charlie and all those girls moved into his house in Malibu, I believe. And then he used to hang out with them, and then they gave him STDs, and he was like, get out of here. This is not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were on the road. And then I think they went out to their little ranch, Spawn Ranch.
Spawn Ranch, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And like took over that guy's
house.
Yes.
Yeah.
wild.
Man, man, oh man.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Everybody.
It's the Christmas episode. We're talking about the Mansons.
We do this every year. Yeah. Every year I say, we're not going to talk about the Mansons.
Throw
and then
it
you
out
know
my
what?
Fork and I've...
Can we just spend one year
talking about the man with all the toys, Charles Manson?
The man with all the toys. Up next, Santa's beard. Also about Charles Manson. Yeah.
Santa's give it beard. A listen. I love this one.
Oh, this one's great.
This one is
really
talking about
terrific.
That lie we have to.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Here's my question for the group.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a specific memory of someone in your life as a child who would dress up as Santa every year?
Uncle Wayne.
Uncle Wayne.
He was the youngest of my mom's siblings.
Uh-huh. So Uncle Wayne would come to the house every year as Santa?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was, we had 12 cousins that all lived in the same town, so mm-hmm. our Christmas Eve was wild,
like
12 kids running around, and he would come in. I guess him and Uncle Mark switched off so that they wouldn't be detected. but I think that went on for maybe 2 years.
Okay.
That I can remember. And then Uncle Wayne and Mark were both like, done with that.
Wow. What about you?
There's a guy that my dad used to work with that we called Uncle Sal.
Oh, geez.
And that. Sal would come every year as Santa Claus and scare the shit out of us.
Oh, that is incredible.
Really fun.
Because he was like a loud, big guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he would just really get into it. And my sister and I were young.
Yeah.
That is so cool that they like, was he a single man?
I think he was. I think he was.
I was going to say, you got to ditch your family to go to this other family's house to be Santa.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't have somebody specifically that would do that. There was a little tradition that my dad would do where they go like, we think Santa's here. My mom would be like, go outside. And I can't believe I never caught on to this. And like, I think Santa's like, let's go outside and listen for Santa. And we go outside. And then from the other side of the house, we'd hear, oh, oh, oh. And then we go, oh, Santa's here. Like he's on the roof.
Oh.
You have to go to bed. And we would run to bed. Like, so panicked. And I never caught on that it was my dad just going to the other side of the house.
Oh,
I never caught on.
That's so good.
And
that's
I was
great.
So I believed it. And then but the Santa Claus actually that I remembered honestly is myself. I had to do for a crafts fair once when I was, I think, 12 or 13 years old, the community theater I was involved with where I was in Catitudes. We were somehow attached to this crafts fair and they needed to provide a Santa. And they were like, would you go and be Santa at this crafts fair? And I was like 12 or 13 years old. Way too little, literally a child, a teenager being Santa. But I wore like a thing and I wore a wig and I wore, and I was like walking around. I was like, ho, ho, ho. Every adult was like, you're a little young to be Santa. Every adult. I hid in the bathroom for 45 minutes. I was so embarrassed. 13-year-old Patrick in a Santa suit hiding in the bathroom at the Arlington Convention Center. Being like, this, I am so embarrassed. I was set up for failure.
Oh.
So let me just tell you, it can be brutal.
Oh, buddy.
These people are trying to poke holes, you know?
Pull your belly out.
Pull your belly
that's
out.
That's right.
There was one kid I gave a candy cane, and he looked like, wow, that's Santa.
Oh, you wow.
And then the dad was like, you're a little young, Santa. It was awful.
How old were the Beach Boys when they recorded this album?
Because let me see.
That's one of the things, too, of like, and I know it's like a sign of the times and everything, but it just... It seems like they're just speaking to children, in this album, And when that one started, and I hadn't heard that one in a while, but it was like, "I want to meet Santa." I'm like, "Well, sir," and then he talks about his little brother,
right?
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, well, then were they like teenager, or did they? Was he talking about, you know, a time in the past with his little brother?
Let me crunch some numbers here. Okay, that was recorded in 1964.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Crunch, crunch.
Oh, that's 1960. It was recorded in 1963, actually.
Okay. Sure, you got to get it together.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Production, marketing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And let me just Google this. Brian Wilson, at least we know, was born in 1942, so they were about 20, 21 years old.
Okay, wow. That's totally reasonable.
Brian Wilson was. I mean, I don't know where he is in the age group, you know?
Probably middle. Or
yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm I don't know. Completely making that up.
But he was, like, their early 20s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so
yeah,
that, yeah, that yeah. makes it all
checks out.
Better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely makes
not
it all
it,
better.
It was just, you know, just a little off-putting at the beginning to hear the man say that he wanted to meet Santa.
Yeah, yeah. I want to meet Santa. I want to meet. Yeah. Well, I'm also thinking, like, Santa's beard, it's obviously about his beard falling off or coming off.
Sure.
But then also, is he saying that this Santa Claus is Santa's beard, where he's, like, making Santa believable for other people?
Oh, I see.
And it's like...
And yes.
Yeah.
Right? That's the...
Because I love that. I remember my... friend's mom talking about how, you know, the Santa Clauses in the mall are not the real Santas. They're just helping Santa, you know, do things for other people. I feel like that was
I wonder
the
what genius
here.
Parent came up with that first.
Brilliant.
You know, because I also
real
like,
quick thinking.
Yeah. I also, I don't know if you guys experienced this or remember getting old enough to get it, but then having people your age not get it yet.
Yeah.
And then just like these huge holiday arguments on the playground.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and looking back, I'm just like, oh, what a little asshole I was just squashing these peers' belief in, like, you know, Santa.
Insane.
But I was just like, you know, I was all about the facts back then.
Yeah. you were doing it, though.
And you are now.
Wow. And now you are, too. I was not. I had a rough time realizing that Santa didn't exist.
You did.
Yeah, yeah. And then it took me 4 months later to realize that the Easter Bunny didn't exist.
So that was a rough year for you.
It was a tough year.
The bunny hung on a little bit.
The bunny,
longer.
For some reason, I was like, the bunny's real.
The bunny's real with the chocolate eggs.
Yeah. The man isn't real, the but man, the bunny's real.
Don't miss no one.
Merry Christmas, Baby.
Oh, yeah.
This is the next song. Let's give it a listen.
My baby, she told me she don't wanna hold me and kiss my lips anymore. She's gonna leave me, and she don't believe me that I'll be true now. Well, maybe she don't love me, not thinking of me, but why'd she do it this time of year? She knows that I'll miss her, and I wanna kiss her, it just
The genius of the Beach Boys, where if you played this album without really listening to the lyrics, this would not, to me, sound like a Christmas album.
No.
Yeah, there's no it's not over with like bells or, you know.
Right,
yeah.
Right. They really went for their audience with this album, I think.
Yeah, they really did. What's funny is that this is a response to Phil Spector, where it's like using his tricks.
That brings
doing
a lot
that
of context to the whole thing.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is really
using
funny.
Using his tricks to...
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Like against him. Or it was because it's that wall of sound that they're doing.
Right.
And Brian's like, I can do what you're doing.
Yeah, he's like, guys... I can do this. Mm-hmm. I got you, pal. It's some 21-year-old upstart being like, I'm going to do this myself.
And it's also crazy to think that I'm sure that Brian Wilson could have played the piano exactly how Phil Spector wanted him to, but he's like too much of his own animal.
Yeah.
Caged in like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, as long when I don't have your guardrails, look what I can do.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, look, music historian James Perrone wrote that this is regarded as one of the finest holiday albums of the rock era.
I have to agree.
Have to agree. Like,
sure.
And also, to your point, if you didn't listen to the words of this song, you don't even know it's a breakup song.
No.
I mean, it's so nice. And yes. Whatever, you know, and he cheated on her.
Yeah.
Yep.
And wants her back for Christmas and doesn't understand why it can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Man. Christmas Day.
Lead vocals on this one, Al Jardine. This is the first time Al Jardine does lead vocals on a song.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's check it out.
The Christmas spirit grows with each new day. And it's so close but seems so far away. And yet it comes only once a year. And for you know it's already here. The streets are filled with laughter and so many hearts are gay. Everybody helps to make the spirit bright. The houses turn on their Christmas lights at night. It's worth the wait the whole year through just to make happy someone like you. And on every odd road the thrill of Christmas Day.
It's great.
It's really nice.
Really good.
This part, yes.
Is a little, I call this Zamboni music.
Do some of your air horns.
Yeah. That's jazz right there, baby.
Free flowing jazz.
Just transport everyone to a Washington Capitals game.
Zamboni. This has... I remember listening to this one too, and like the turn of phrase where it's like not correct English.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
They did it in one earlier too. It's like, well, he don't miss no one.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then this one was make happy for someone like you.
Uh huh.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's just interesting the way that, I guess, that's how it rhymes, I guess. But
I guess they play a little bit, they mess with the lyrics.
And I love the, also, like, because I can't necessarily pin the Beach Boy to his voice necessarily, but when you tell me that this one's different, then you're like, oh yeah, that is a little bit different than the lead vocal of
that's
Beach
very
Boy song
interesting
that I,
yeah
I've
it's
heard
hard
before.
To kind of to, yeah it's funny
I wonder what it was about this song that made him be like, yeah, I'm gonna do this,
you
one.
Know what, I'm gonna take this one, guys.
I'm gonna take this one.
Yeah.
Do you think they all naturally sounded, I mean, a couple of them are related, or they're all related, right? Or they're all, one of them's cousins,
there's a cousin,
and then there's brothers.
Uh-huh.
Do you think they're all naturally the same voice, or do you think they all kind of lean into like the Beach Boys sound?
Mm.
You know, because what if there was a brother that was like, my name is Davey Wilson?
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's kind of like
Davey's
going
to be the roadie. Yes.
You can go over there.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like a Bee Gees thing almost.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you're in the same environment for so long, making the same music. Like Barry Gibb like branched out a little bit by doing like the falsettos, but everybody still kind of sounded similar.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know? They like were creating the sound, so probably weren't even aware that they were doing the
right.
sound.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think you might be right, like the blood relation might have something to do with like their subconscious or
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting. What's next, Ryan?
Frosty the Snowman.
I like this version.
This one's great.
This is a fun one.
Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. Must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his he began to dance around. Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
They could have easily phoned that one in.
Totally.
But they added so much to it.
What is the really big Frosty? Is there a Jackson 5 Frosty the Snowman? What was that?
Or is there an Andy Williams?
Andy, I think... Let me look it up, actually.
Because there's one that's like really big that I'm like, now I'm wondering if Phil Spector had his own Frosty the Snowman. Wow. Yeah, I'm thinking about the one with...
Bing Crosby?
The Ronettes.
The Ronettes. Everybody has a... Willie Nelson has a Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, Frosty the Snowman.
Gnostry
has
one.
Ronettes released Frosty the Snowman in... What year was this? Everyone loves live Googling.
Research, yeah.
let me see. Just Crow just going at it out there. Merry Christmas. Here's my Christmas crow. Okay, the Ronettes released Frosty the Snowman November 22nd, 1963, and this was a Christmas gift for you from Philly's Record. This is the album that... got kicked off of.
Wow.
And so a year later, they came out with their own version of Frosty the Snowman, and it's pretty bombastic.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Brian Wilson is just like a walking middle finger.
Yes.
It's so cool to like disguise that in Christmas cheer.
Yes. It's so funny. We thought we were listening to like a warm, homey
it's just a
Christmas.
Big fuck you to. Check, check, check.
Pretty sure.
Check,
we,
check, check.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm in.
Yeah,
can you hear
I think
me?
We're, yep.
We just got fucked by Phil Spector's
oh,
ghost.
Yeah, we did. God damn
oh,
it.
Oh, boy. That's, I mean,
you
might be right.
Nobody just like, it's just like saying Macbeth in a theater. You don't say Phil Spector on a podcast.
Absolutely. Now we know. Now we know.
I mean,
know
his name is fucking
now.
Spectre. What else do you expect?
What do you expect her?
Okay, we three kings of Orion are. Now we're getting into the religious stuff.
This is finally.
Finally. Patrick's been waiting for it all episode.
The name of the season, folks. Yeah.
The name of the season. Let's give it a listen.
This one is probably weirdly the Beach Boys song that I know the most.
Interesting.
Really?
Of all Beach Boys songs?
No.
I was
going to
say, I can't wait to unpack this.
No, that's Little Surfer Girl.
This song is responsible for like half of the running time of the album.
It's a real interesting choice to take maybe the slowest Christmas song and make it slower.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's so strange.
Absolutely. It's. I also love this song because it's about people that arrive to a party late. These people actually have no effect on what's going on.
No.
They are the cousins of the party. They are the co-workers of the party.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just hanging out. I was looking up a little bit about the writing of this song. It was written by this guy, John Henry Hopkins Jr. He wrote it in 1857, and he joined the clergy after graduating the University of Vermont. And after graduating, he was ordained as a deacon in 1850. He became its first music teacher 5 years later. And then during his final year of teaching, he wrote We Three Kings for a Christmas pageant held at the college. And he composed all of it, and it was sung within his circle of family and friends. He came up, he's like, I got this song I wrote. You guys want to sing it with me? And then everyone loved it. It was very popular. He published it in his book, Carols, Hymns, and Songs. And it was the first Christmas carol originating from the United States to achieve widespread popularity, as well as the first to be featured in Christmas Carols Old and New, a prestigious and influential collection of carols that was published in the United Kingdom. So this is an American Christmas song.
Wow.
One of the first ones.
Wow. That's huge.
This and, you know, beating out O Come All Ye Faithful and stuff.
Yeah, and to break into the classics.
Yeah.
As an American, I feel like.
I am writing a biopic about this guy. It's called Me Three Kings.
And my family and friends.
It's going to be good. Very interesting. I didn't know that was an American classic.
That's why we need to do live research.
Yes. This is why you do live research. You start reading a Wikipedia article and you hope that something is going to be interesting as you're reading it.
That's a very good point. I know that there are some times where you start reading something, and in the middle you're like, I hope there's something here.
How do I trail off here?
Oh, God. Yeah. That's when I get the crow to start crowing.
That's right.
Hey, did you hear that crow? Anyways, turns out I was just reading the fine...
The power went out.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, turns out this was fine print on a medication. So
I shouldn't be reading this. Don't worry about that. Blue Christmas.
Oh, this is a fun one, and this is also a fuck you, by the way, because this is an Elvis one, right?
Yeah.
When did Elvis do Blue Christmas?
56.
56. Let's go 56.
Okay. No, it's later.
57.
Oh!
Really good. Really close.
Dang.
I have a blue. Without you.
Man, side B is slow.
Yeah.
Chills out.
Yeah.
So blue, thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree. Won't mean a thing if you're not here with me.
Can you guess which Beach Boy's singing?
I'll have a blue.
Nope.
I'm gonna just guess. I'm gonna guess Carl.
That's Carl!
Carl Beach.
Carl Beach.
Yeah, there's Brian Beach, there's Carl Beach.
Carl Beach, there's David Boy. That was Brian.
That was Brian.
That was that was young Brian. Yeah,
slow again, going from slow to slow. Mm-hmm. They really, like, I'm just now realizing that this side is just, like you said, just chills out.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really chill.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, that's every Christmas album has a bit of a dip. It's hard to find. I mean, I've looked at a couple tropical. I was doing a lot of research for this one.
Yep.
There's some like soca tropical reggae songs, you know, Christmas albums.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, that are very, very, you know, even tempered. And there's a good pace and there's a relaxing. It keeps that kind of beat in the background. Yeah. But that's all of reggae music, is that it feels like it could seamlessly go for 12 hours.
Right.
And it's just the same slow beat.
It's like the music that is recommended to play, like, if you're going to leave your dog alone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or babies.
Really?
Something about the rhythm of it.
Okay, who's recommending you leave a baby alone?
If you need to leave the house for a few hours.
My inner monologue.
Leave her alone. Leave her
Put
alone.
Put on some music, leave her alone.
Parenting 101. Uh-huh. I'm learning so much.
This is it. It's interesting. I mean, if you guys out there know a Christmas album without a Christmas dip, you let me know.
Yeah,
everyone has a dip.
It feels like you have to dip because at some point in the album you have to take this seriously.
Yeah.
This is Christmas Christ. You know, especially in the '60s.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just so tied to religion
Christ.
And.
Yeah.
It can't be all fun, you know?
No.
You gotta have a point where the priest comes out and speaks over the music, and this would be that song.
But I could argue that the 60s, especially this mid to, like, you know, like 63 to 68, that was kind of a little bit the golden age of Christmas, like, commercialism that we like, because Rankin
Christmas
and Bass
specials.
Was big. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And that was all popping off pretty crazy at this point. And then it's lasted us like 50, 60 years. This album is going to be 60 years old.
That's crazy.
In 2 years.
That's crazy.
And it still is
three years.
The top of the playlist over like 30 years of other albums that have come out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
It's got
that's
a lasting vibe, the 60s Christmas vibe.
Yeah, Fuck You really lasts, you know?
Yeah, it
really
does. It does. When you make something with a Fuck You energy and it's Christmas...
Hello, Olivia Rodrigo. In 20 years, we're going to be listening to you.
Olivia!
Give us that Christmas album.
Yeah, the first Christmas Alone album.
Yep.
Let's do it. Yeah,
you're
yeah.
having Christmas without me. Fuck you.
That's really good. That's good.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Let's check it out.
Oh, I love this one. Because it's five songs. Let's pay attention.
Okay.
This is one.
Better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. Ooh.
Two.
Yep.
Three. Circus.
Wow.
Four.
Five. Back to one.
Back to one.
He's gonna find out who's naughty or not. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Three. Back to three.
Sinatra.
He knows yeah, that was like
Christmas, Beach Boys, Circus Sinatra.
Yeah.
He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
The weasel in there, folks.
Frank sings the songs. Dean tells the jokes. Bugs Bunny's running around. There he is.
What? Oh, how wild is that?
I love to imagine, like, well, this, because you mentioned, didn't they, like, they recorded the orchestra first, and then they did the song. They're like, well, they really... We're not on their own on this one. We still got to record lyrics.
Okay, here we go.
How do we fit this around? Okay.
Jeez. It is. That is a wild one.
That's fun.
Truly wild.
I like that one a lot. I mean, it's just unexpected. I think it's crazy because I think Brian Wilson's brain specifically does this thing where we've heard that. We've heard that. Let's do something we haven't done yet.
Uh-huh.
And he's like so restless in that. That's
with a lot of the Beach Boys albums. I think we talked about this when we talked about Pet Sounds is... There are certain bands, certain artists where you can kind of hear the producer in them sort of come through, like the frenetic energy. Yeah. It's like listening to a Fleetwood Mac album and like knowing that there's a lot of shit going on.
Yes.
It's the same thing here.
Yeah.
You know?
And it takes somebody to point it out to you, for me, not as like a trained music listener. Then as soon as you point it out, it's like, oh my God, what is going on in there?
Crazy. He's so wild
like,
in there.
It could be like, I could also see an instance where like the Beach Boys all like, we're having an argument about what this song is. It's like, okay, well,
let's just do them all.
Yeah. Okay. This part's my part. You know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Let's split it up.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And also, thank you. Yeah, we are trained music listeners at this point.
Sure. Yeah, you guys are.
I guess we are.
I learned so much when
we're
I come
here. Music
I mean,
listeners.
You guys might want to put yourselves down, but you guys do know a lot about your music that you like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
I hope we do.
Yes.
After all the time we've spent doing this, that's a good point. You're right.
Yeah.
You're
guys
right.
Need to own it.
We need to own it.
That's true.
Ryan.
Yeah. 2022, we're going to own it.
Oh, not yet.
No, we're not going to
do it.
No. Yeah. No. I'm giving myself another 2 weeks. And then I'll own it.
You'll own it. We'll see. Next year is going to be
I'll
the year.
I'll own it later.
Okay.
Up next, we have White Christmas. White Christmas.
Ooh.
If Blue Christmas wasn't for you,
here's White Christmas.
Here's White Christmas.
Smart move not putting this immediately after Blue Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. That's what color Christmas.
Really just bleeds together.
Yeah.
I think that's somebody's next opportunity to break into the classics is to come up with a new Color Christmas.
That's right.
This is also four songs, by the way.
You're right.
These are just four more closer together songs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Don't believe him. Not writing any Christmas cards. Give me a break.
There we go. White Christmas.
Nice.
Oh, here we go. Is this an episode of Mad Men?
Yes.
This is an Irving Berlin classic.
Uh-huh.
Love this one. This might be one of my faves.
It's really
good. Jimmy cover of
Jimmy
Christmas song.
Jimmy does a great cover of White Christmas.
Because there's a whole intro that they cut that Irving Berlin originally wrote about L.A. I'm in sunny L.A., but it isn't snowy, and mm-hmm. I'm missing the days of whatever. And I love that. I'm missing the days of whatever. If you guys had to make a Christmas song that was a blank colored Christmas. White's been taken, blue's been taken.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to write?
Green Christmas.
I was going to say green as well. Okay. Like green and red, why are those not spoken for?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Red Christmas sounds pretty intense.
I mean, that's like a heavy metal song, I think.
Yeah.
It's a red Christmas.
Yeah. That's fun.
What about you?
Well, blue Christmas is already taken too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
White, blue. You guys said green.
Green, red.
Red. Maybe I'll do purple Christmas.
Sure. Purple Christmas.
It's like funky, you know? It's
yeah,
like, it would be fun. Quirky. Kind of like, I'm a little different. It's like a she and her song. You know what I mean?
She and him.
She and her. She and him song. Yeah.
Pronouns.
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 Man. Green Christmas could be, you know, Willie Nelson's.
Oh, that's
yes,
good.
Yes, that's very good.
A little bit of the reefer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Very, very
that's
good.
That's really good.
I'll Be Home for Christmas, the next song on the album. Let's check it out.
All right. This is the slow side.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Santa's coming. You got to go to sleep.
That's right.
Shifts always. Presents on the tree instead of presents under the tree.
Yep. Uh huh.
That caught my eye too. It's like, ooh, putting a bonnet. Are all your gifts ornaments?
It's a professional music listener right there.
Crushing. Yeah, that's some really good music listener.
Let's take some notes, everybody.
Yeah. Hey. Rubbing off. Christmas in like 6 months when this song's done.
Yeah.
I really like it though.
It's good. I mean, there's like they literally brought a flute player in and they were like, have at it, my man.
Yeah.
Like whatever you want to do. It was like Peer Gynt in the background. I mean, they're like doing full, like complete, like classical music.
Yeah.
Riffs.
That's what I'm saying. You can either really phone it in or you go all out.
Yeah.
Totally.
There's some stories here. I wanted to tell you a little bit about I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Originally sung by Bing Crosby, 1943. It was a top 10 hit. It was written obviously during World War II for soldiers overseas.
Uh-huh.
So it's always been kind of a war soldier anthem that's always been part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But something interesting The flip side of the original recording was Danny Boy.
Oh, really?
On one Danny side, Boy. It was I'll Be Home for Christmas, and on the other side, it was Danny Boy, which is
wow.
the saddest possible record you could ever own.
Wow. Yeah.
So sad to yeah. have both of those. That was the. That's a tough vibe.
Really,
that
put people you, in the Christmas spirit.
That tells you about the vibe of 1943.
I was going to say, the wartime yeah. vibe.
The wartime vibe of like, yeah, here's the song that we're putting on for Christmas. We're playing I'll Be Home for Christmas, and then we're turning it over, and we're listening to Danny Boy, and then we're doing it again.
And then we're going to cry, and then we're going to do it again.
Yeah, whew. Exactly. And we're going to think about, I mean, that was pretty wild.
Wow.
I've heard like some things about, you know, not to get deep, but I've heard things. I think of John Stewart was saying there's like three things. There's three periods in America that like completely shifted. And it was like he said it's been the, you know, the Depression, World War II, and COVID,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so I think we are the COVID is the closest we've felt to these major like national crises that yep. have happened in our country for years and years.
That we've
and
only
years.
Learned about.
We've only learned about.
Yes.
Like the sacrifices we made and the sacrifices we were forced to make or the changes that were done to us happened during World War II. They happened during the Great Depression. Like those are, and now we have a true lived experience that's similar to that.
Totally.
Different in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
but similar to that.
And I feel like a lot of serious art has come out of this time.
Yeah. yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's like you'd feel strange not yeah. like addressing what everyone is going through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, are you, so you, and you haven't seen Dear Christmas?
Again, like I said, I've seen D-E-E.
D-E-3-E's. D-E-E's.
The animated film.
Yeah.
Oh, Auld Lang Syne, the last song on this album. Let's check it out. 27 minutes, 48 seconds, this album. That's crazy. I still can't believe that.
And some of the songs seem so slow.
I know.
I know. Oh, I love this one because it's a surprise.
Forgot and never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot? And days of old lang syne. For
hi, this is Denny.
Hey, Denny.
Speaking for the rest of the guys, I'd like to say that it has been a great pleasure for all of us to bring you this Christmas album. We hope you will treasure it the way we do. And if you happen to be listening to this album right now, Mike, Brian, Carl, Al, and I would like to wish every one of you a very Merry Christmas, and we hope the new year brings you as much happiness as this year has brought us.
And Phil Spector, we hope you choke on a duck.
Rotten hell, murderer yes. Phil. It's, I love that he screws up.
And they kept it.
Yeah. You know, Brian's just looking at Denny. Leave it in.
One job.
Came over this morning. Pitched me the idea of talking on the album, then he screwed it up.
I stayed up for 5 days straight orchestrating Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Yeah. You can't say have
come on
correctly.
You wrote this on a post-it.
Denny. Denny, come on. Stop hanging out with Squeaky Frome and let's freaking get our shit together. What are you up to, Denny?
Oh, man. Boys, another Christmas album in the bag. How do we feel?
Oh, wow. It's over, huh? Do we have one more left?
I mean, we have a Jimmy song that we have
okay,
to play.
Good. That was the last.
That was the last on the Beach Boys
I
album.
I think I listened to this album 6 times in a row.
And
accidentally.
Thought it was once.
I thought it was once.
Yeah.
I was like, that's how it ends?
Uh-huh.
It should end like that, because yeah, I was going to talk about how they should have ended on that, and I guess they did. How do we feel? What a wonderful Christmas holiday album.
I
loved it. I mean, this is yeah. a seminal one. You can put this on anywhere. Definitely throw this in your playlists.
Mm-hmm.
It. I mean, this is nothing new. We're just here celebrating.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's the name of the game. We're not trying to introduce you to anything crazy. But this is the best.
So great. I love this album. I love this tradition. Matt, every single year, you're here. It is our favorite time of the year.
Oh, man.
So thank you so much for
you
joining
really
us again.
You guys really anchor my year.
Oh, my gosh.
You do. It is. It's such a great, such a fun message to get from you guys. It's like, it's oh, yeah.
It's time.
New Christmas starting.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to put presents on the tree. Right on it.
You are
put the presents on the tree.
You were okay. The Mariah Carey of the Parrothead podcast.
Oh, you are. God. You are for a lot
bless
of reasons.
You.
Mostly your whistle tones, but
that's right.
It is truly I think it's all about building traditions. You know? Like that's what Christmas is. And a tradition is just something you do over and over and over until you attach comfort to it. And
yes.
This is officially comforting to have you here.
It is.
We love it. Yeah, yeah.
Love you guys.
Love
you.
You
too.
Merry
love you
Christmas.
Too. Merry,
oh my God.
Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
everybody. And happy birthday to Jimmy.
Happy birthday, Jimmy. This is a big
this
one.
This is a twofer for us.
75. Wow. Jimmy's turning 75 this year.
Believe it?
Yeah.
And he's still going strong.
Still doing it.
Still doing it.
Our big guy.
His concert starts at 8, baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
His concert starts at 8.
Some pipsqueak starts at 5.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, geez.
Well, Matt, is there anything that you want to promote? Where can people check you out? Say hi. What's going on?
Well, you check out season 3 of Miracle Workers Oregon Trail. I got to have a fun part on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up in the new year, I'll be in a movie called Hollywood Stargirl on Disney Plus. It's a sequel to a movie called Stargirl.
Is that based on the Jerry Spinelli book?
It is.
I love Jerry Spinelli. Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is a sequel that is based off the book, but is it's original.
Uh-huh.
Oh, great.
And then sometime in 2022, Ryan Murphy's got a new Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix show coming out that I get to have a fun part in. So,
how many episodes?
I'm in one episode, in episode 5, playing a detective.
That's
so
pretty cool. How was that?
That?
Was shooting that fun?
Oh, it's incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah, really fun. I think it's gonna be really good. And David Lynch's daughter directed me.
That's huge.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
She was really cool. Really, really fun experience. So I'm excited to see that. So yeah, that's where I'm in Maddie Cordova on all the socials.
Hell yeah. So
amazing.
Excited to hear that
thanks,
is happening
guys.
For you. It's what we couldn't be more deserved.
Oh God.
Yes.
Thank you so
absolutely,
much.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Hope you enjoy your first Christmas with your daughter.
Yes.
That's so exciting, so amazing. So until next time, everybody, have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And we're gonna end it on ho 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 and a bottle of rum.
Hell
yes,
yeah,
of course. So until next time. Wait, you have to start always.
I always try
to start, and I'm like, I can't do this. We have a rhythm that we've been doing for
it's
6 years.
I'm made for Marley Bone.
I'm St. Charles, Tennessee.
Have a great week. Meet you at the end. Bye-bye. Hello. You're right. It's so much easier if I start.
I don't understand why. Here we go. Come on.
Christmas whistle. Here it is.
Stressed out as the holiday season draws near. He's been doing the same job now going on 2,000 years. He's got veins in his brain and chimney scars cover his buns. He hates to admit it, but Christmas is more work than fun. Aww. He needs a vacation from bad decorations and snow. Mr. Claus has escape plans, a secret that only he knows. Beaches and palm trees appear night and day in his dreams.
Here we go, ready? Okay.
A break from his wife, his half-frozen life. The elves and that damn
everybody.
Reindeer
team. Hey! Ho, 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 and a bottle of rum. Santa's run off to the Caribbean. He dreams about boat drinks and fun in the sun. Ho, 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 and a bottle of rum.
He forgets no one.
Oh, guys, Santa's outside.
Oh, oh, oh. Go to bed,
hey,
everybody.
Hey, Patrick's dad.
Hey, now come on in.
Yeah.
I'm Brian Husky. I'm bald.
And I'm Charlie Sanders, and I'm also bald. And we host Bald Talk on the Campfire Media Network.
Bald Talk is the podcast where two bald comedians talk to anyone bald about being bald.
But this show isn't just for baldies, Brian. Harrows will love it too.
Bald Talk gets into vulnerability, vanity, insecurity, and self-acceptance, reminding us that we all have our respective bald spots. Not that bald spots are a bad thing.
No way. I mean, my entire head is one big bald spot.
It is one huge, beautiful bald spot, Charlie.
Get Bald Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I have like a little bit of hair, but not like you. Like, you're really bald.
I'm truly bald.
Great. I mean, it's
I'm
great.
Balder than it. You.
You are balder than me. Only on Bald Talk.
Campfire.